This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
It's Father Tom today, and Will. Will was in prison. How long were you in prison for, Will?
Father, I was in for 17 months, and it was about 513 days.
Why were you in prison?
I was in prison for trying to protect unborn babies and their mothers and fathers, and also to share the truth of the gospel of life with people who are killing God's babies.
I remember being in front of Planned Parenthood, and there was a vehicle that stopped. They were there to collect arms and legs and heads of children that were cut out of the womb. It was so sick. I said to the man, do you know what you're going to be doing? Arms and legs and heads? But you see, no one talks like that. Oh, we don't want to turn people up. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. And what are we doing about it? Ha-ha! Whether we not much. It's time for us to be pro-life and proactive. It's time to do something in the name of Jesus. We are killing our children, one right after the other. Maybe that child that's being killed today is the one who would give us the cure for AIDS. I don't know. But whatever that child is, it's much better for him or her to live than to be cut out of the womb.
That's right, Father. And, you know, sadly, it's a spiritual battle. And a lot of the mothers and fathers who are going into abortion centers have been tempted to despair, to sadness, to fear. And, you know, we are commanded by God in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 11, rescue those who are being taken to slaughter. Do not stand idly by when your neighbor is taken to destruction. And so there have been Christians that have been involved in the rescue movement, placing their bodies peacefully between the child and mother and the abortionist and the instruments of violence. And we were at a late-term abortion center, a place where they do what's called live birth abortions, where if the mother is in labor, the baby's delivered alive. Instead of giving the help it's required and needed, the baby is left to die. No assistance will be provided, so the baby slowly dies. And while we were there rescuing, I was offering brochures in the hallway, offering help and hope. People were praying in the waiting room. We saw two mothers come in who were in the third trimester to have their babies killed. And this is happening every day, and not just the late-term abortions, but also the chemical abortions. Last week was the, I think, 65-year anniversary of the decriminalization of the birth control pill. And one of the elements of the pill is, it says in the product insert, prevents nidation, which means that the little tiny baby that's conceived can't bond with the mother. And so researchers have said since the 1960s, somewhere between 195 million up to over 750 million babies have been killed by these chemical means. It's apocalyptic. It's there's no way to describe the catastrophic loss of life that's happened just here in the U.S. and in the whole world. It's well over a billion.
And not a word is said in many places. Not a word is said. They might think I'm crazy. Oh, no, I'm not crazy. They're killing our children. And not only that, but the women are being killed. It's not only the babies. When a woman's body is pregnant, her whole being knows it. And if that baby is taken from it, that woman experiences it emotionally, if not that day, another day. We need to be before these abortion centers to pray and to give people an option to do something else. That's what we need to do. But you see, we've become so used to killing children in the womb that not many people are out there protesting, praying, Reading the scripture? No? We've almost said, well, it's okay. We can't do much about it. We can do much about it. We can be there and pray. You don't need to speak, but to pray. To pray that God would stop a woman and her husband or boyfriend from destroying the baby within her. It's important. It's important. We kill our children. I'm going to tell you, dogs don't kill their puppies. Cats don't kill their kittens. But people, men and women, kill their children. Thank God there's forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, maybe you've had 3 abortions. There's forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus as you go to confession. But now we're telling you what happens every day at Planned Parenthood. It has nothing to do with parenthood and everything to do with being a killing center.
And these abortion centers are doing more killing. We're seeing 2 things happening. By God's grace, there are a lot of Planned Parenthoods that are closing down. They're losing their funding.
Amen.
They've been hurting women, and so they're losing business, which is great. Praise God that
Amen.
They're closing, they're not doing. But on other fronts, they're doing more abortions. They're killing more babies. And especially in states that have very murderous abortion laws where they're killing children very liberally. These Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities, they're building new abortion mills on the borders if they border with a state that provides protection for children. So what's happening is called abortion tourism. The state of New York, for example, they are trying to recruit women who are pregnant to come to their state to kill their babies, and they work with the abortion mills to provide free transportation, free hotels and staying, so that people can have a whole weekend in New York City when they go to slaughter their children. And, you know, as you said, Father, women are dying too. They may not come back from this abortion vacation. Where we were in D.C. when we did our rescue, there was a woman who died, and in the coroner's report, it said that they found fetal debris in her lungs. So extreme perforated uterus. There's a whole list. Pro-life paralegals and attorneys have gone in and found all of the malpractice cases against this particular abortionist, whose name is Cesar San Angelo in D.C., the Washington Surgery Center. And so the brochures we had were not only places where pregnant mothers could go to receive help for themselves and their babies, free medical care, free assistance, pregnancy resource centers, free maternity homes, but also alerting the boyfriends and the fathers and the husbands that their wife might die. They may not walk away because of the terrible things that happen to women inside abortion mills too. And so we're there to share Christ's love with the mothers, with the fathers, with the unborn babies who have no voice, but also to be a witness of truth for those killing the children, because God's commandment, thou shalt not kill, applies to all people, men and women, abortionists, abortion staff, and also to call more of God's people not to stand idly by while millions of their neighbors are being slaughtered.
But who will do something about it? This has been happening for decades now. Decades! We've grown used to it. That's probably what's happened. We've grown used to it. Imagine right now, as I'm speaking to you, at Planned Parenthood, next to Boston University. Oh, it's at prime property. Planned Parenthood between Boston University and Boston, B.C. It's right in the middle. So that women could just take a mile or a mile and a half to kill the child. Oh, they planned it to have that mill between 2 colleges. They planned it. This is the devil himself. I came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the devil says. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what happens is that we in the church have been silent over the years. It's almost like we've forgotten the children that are being killed and the women that are being hurt profoundly, emotionally, physically. These abortion mills, they don't take care of doing the abortion. It's a quick thing. Get them out for the next person to come in. Oh, I remember being there during Christmas, and there was a woman who brought her child, a girl, to have the abortion. The woman was with the little boy, and they left the abortion center to do Christmas shopping with the little boy, while the daughter was having an abortion. When the daughter came out of the abortion mill, she was so sick. We had her sit with us on the stoop. We've got Coca-Cola for her. Her stomach was so upset. She was decimated. She was sick. The abortion people didn't care about that. They got their money. That's all abortion mills want, is kill and money. That's what it is. You will never get a free abortion. Never, never, never get a free abortion. It's a money-making organization to kill the little children and to hurt the mother, because no mother carrying a baby, her body knows what she's doing. Even if she's taken it out of her mind, her body knows what she's doing, and it will renege. It will do something. It's unnatural. It's unnatural to kill a child. Cats don't kill their kittens. Dogs don't kill their puppies. Men and women kill their children. Oh, we need help. We need to make sure we have help so that women who have a problem pregnancy would be able to have help. We have that in Quincy, a house for women who are pregnant, who decide to have their children. Things have been set up. You can't only be pro-life. You've got to also supply some place for these women to live and to be cared for, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. I tell you, it's time for the church to start preaching about ending abortion. It's time for the church. You know what was told me? The priest said, well, we don't talk about it because there might be a woman who had an abortion. Oh, I said to the priest, it's not might at all. There is a woman in your congregation that had an abortion. No might at all. As a matter of fact, they need to know that there's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. There's mercy through the cross of the Master Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness and mercy and fullness of life as they confess their sins in the holy name of Jesus. We don't want to reject anyone. If someone came to me and said they had 7 abortions, what could I do? I want to help that woman. I want her to be dealing with what she did so that she can let it go. I call the woman to tell, ask the Lord to name these children, to name them. And after you name one, you give them back to the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. Then you do the second one, because it's very, very unrare. It is very common that if you have one abortion, you might have another or another one. That's real. That's real. I am not anti-abortion. I am pro-life. Pro-life. From the womb to the tomb. Pro-life. Not anti-abortion. I'm anti-nothing. I'm pro-life because that's what God has given us. Pro-life. Life and in the power of grace more abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Tell us some experience that you've had when you've been in jail because they arrested you for helping a woman who was pregnant.
So, Father, when we rescue, we try to bring Jesus' love and truth to the abortion center. That's the rescue. But we continue with the rescue as we go to court to try to be a voice for the voiceless. And if, after we've been unjustly arrested, if we're also unjustly convicted and we have to go to jail or to prison, we look at that also as a mission field to continue the rescue. You were saying how Satan comes as a murderer and a liar, but Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it in abundance. And what we find when we as rescuers, as Catholics, as Christians trying to be missionaries in the prisons, that there are men and women who are really hurting because of their abortion experiences. Just from my own situation, this most recent time when some of the guys in the prison found out that I was in for doing peaceful pro-life work and doing a sit-in, so many of the guys came forward to tell me that their baby had been murdered by abortion, that their girlfriend or that their wife went through with it, and that they were heartbroken. Some of these guys, you know, were so excited when they found out the news that they were going to have a little boy they could play ball with or a little girl they could dance with. And then they found out that their girlfriend, without telling them, went and killed the baby at the abortion mill, and how heartbreaking it was for these men. And so here's some big guys who are in prison going through a tough time, but with tears in their eyes, explaining how their children, you know, were killed. And in some cases, the guys come forward and say they were the ones pushing the mother into getting the abortion. And later they feel sorry and regretful. I once heard from a good Catholic priest who worked with a post-abortion ministry called Rachel's Vineyard that provides hope and healing and God's mercy to those who have chosen abortion. And he said he encourages the moms and dads who have killed their babies to do two things. And so this is what I would tell the men in the prison to do two things. Ask the child that you killed for forgiveness. Tell that baby who has been created in God's image and likeness and who lives forever, tell that baby that you're sorry and that you love that child. And then the second thing is to tell Jesus and repent of your sins. Confess that sin of killing the baby and ask the Lord for his mercy and pardon. And, you know, the devil works on these people in despair. They go down paths of drugs and of alcohol. Some even go as far as suicide because of the abortion, the depression. You know, the devil's not satisfied just with the baby dead. The devil wants the mom and dad to be
That's
dead
right.
too. So we keep in mind that the rescue mission continues. We pray, have Bible studies. We have rosary prayer groups that people come so that they would know that Jesus comes to bring life. And that he brings it abundantly, and he does so through his divine mercy. But he asks us to repent from the heart of the wrong we've done, and he's so generous to bring us his healing and mercy.
Just remember what happened in World War II, how they took our brothers and sisters who were Jewish and led them to the gas chambers. Just remember that. And you know what the Jewish people say? Never again. And they are right. Never again. But not many people are crying out for the children that are being torn from the women's body. Not many people. And that's kind of sad. And again, the poor woman who has the abortion, she needs to deal with that she did this to her child. Because if you don't deal with it, it deals with you. They don't even know what's happening because they're so depressed. And why are they depressed? Because their body knows that they killed a child. And depression comes in. They don't even know why they're depressed. If they knew why, they could get some help. You just don't take a baby out of a woman's body and nothing happens to the woman. That is counter reality. That woman's body was made to give that child nourishment, to give that child protection, to give that child love. And when that baby is snatched out, the poor woman, whether she knows it or not, begins to suffer. She doesn't even know why she's suffering. I'll tell you why. Because her body knows what she did is not good. What she did is not only not good, but evil. We need to care for women who have had abortions. We need to care for them. I've had them come to me crying, asking mercy from God. Oh, yes, I've had them come to me. And the only thing I can say to them is, Jesus Christ loved that child, and Jesus Christ loves you. And even at the moment of the abortion, God's love did not stop for you. Now it's time to turn away from your sin and to ask forgiveness. And you know what happens? They become pro-life. And no one better than them, pro-life, because they know what they did. And they do not want another woman to do what they did. That's just the way it is. Pro-life. I'm not anti-abortion. I'm pro-life. Life from the moment of conception until life when you take your last breath. And I don't need anyone telling me when my last breath is going to come. That's God's doing. No doctor, no nurse, no physician, no specialist has no right to tell me I am not worth living again. No. When my heart stops naturally, then I'll go to God. I don't want anyone to do it before God calls them to himself. And you know what? We've done all those things. We're making ourselves God. We're making ourselves God. We are not God. I am wearing shoes, and I do not fit in the shoes of the Lord Jesus Christ. My shoes are too small. We need to help these women. We need to be for these women. We need to forgive these women. And we need to have God do something special. And you know what I've seen? So many times after they get reconciled with Jesus Christ and the church, they're able to help other women who have had abortions because they know what it is to experience the after effects of abortion.
And one thing I would add, Father, too, is what we need is for people to understand God's plan for marriage and the blessed and sacred act that can conceive a child was intended for marriage, was intended to be a gift of self between mother and father, husband and wife. And if God chooses to bring life into that situation, that baby will be conceived, you know, within a loving family. But just a word to anyone who may be listening right now. Maybe there's a crisis pregnancy you have at the moment. Perhaps you engaged in sinful activity, but the Lord brought about the gift of life. Every child is a gift. Even if the way the child was conceived was in sin, the child itself is a blessing.
Amen.
And if God has given you this blessing, he will provide for you. He will provide for the baby. Do not give in to despair, but give that child love and protect its life.
And the Lord will help you, because every single child that's created, God loved into existence, and He will help mother and father to be able to care for that child. So stand up against the temptations of the devil and look for pregnancy resource assistance, free pro-life information that can assist you. CareNet.org. If you need a place to stay, you can go to GoodCounselHomes.com. If you've experienced the trauma of abortion, you can go to Project Rachel. And if you'd like to get involved in more pro-life work, you can join us at RedRoseRescue.com. And then for people who maybe haven't seen what Father was talking about, the victims of abortion, you can go to justicefor5.com, justicefor5, and you'll see the remains of the babies who were killed at the abortion center where we were unjustly arrested. So I just want to thank all of you for the work you're doing to please pray and work to bring about an end to this Holocaust and to obey God's command. Rescue those being taken to slaughter. Do not stand idly by as your neighbor is taken to destruction. God bless you.
God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.